I absolutely have a ton of friends in the space. I talk to a lot, any and all financial advisors I can talk to, because like a lot of things, they provide incredible tools to use. There is no one answer for everything. There is not, I bought my life insurance and my mutual funds, I'm done. That's not going to be a solid wealth generating, wealth building, or wealth preservation strategy for long term.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we have an amazing guest, Dan Schoenbachler. Dan, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome, everyone. Well, Dan has just an amazing story. He has just done so many different things in his real estate career and what he studied in college. And I'm really excited to have him share his story with you and tell him. And why don't you start us off, Dan, by telling us like where you started in school and you know what kind of started to draw you into the real estate space?
Sure. Originally from Northern New Jersey, and I'm back here now. However, I did a five-year stint in Pennsylvania, where I went to Shippensburg University and graduated with a criminal justice degree. And to this day, I haven't really used it at all. However, I am starting to get involved in some projects, which will be utilizing a little more of that knowledge. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited to touch on that later in the show. So you had a criminal justice degree, and did that work out? Did you go into that field?
Honestly, I was a little turned off by the curriculum towards the end of it. It just felt very depressing to me. I have a lot of family actually involved in that field. So that's kind of what directed me to go that route. However, I was just feeling that at the time, it wasn't something I truly was going to be as passionate about. So I had other distractions like music, that I was in some bands and maybe I should go back and pursue that. So I was very unsure. So moved back home, basically got an entry-level job, a glorified customer service rep for this flooring company. And it was through that I got my first inkling of where I should head professionally. And that was gravitating towards sales. And so I left that company to get into financial services, where I got a bunch of securities licenses. And
And just a real quick question, Dan, because what was it about sales that was attractive to you?
I liked not being stuck in a cubicle for 8 hours a day. That was very, very up my alley.
For sure.
Seeing these guys running in and out, they got the Bluetooth headphones in and just thinking, man, they get to like talk to so many different people. And that's something that, whether it's a good or bad thing, I'm often accused of, just always loving to talk to anyone and everyone.
Awesome.
So that's where I felt like I'd enjoy myself the most and possibly be most effective.
Okay, cool. So you went into financial services.
Correct. Kind of going up that financial advisor route where I was selling retail. So I was making 100 calls a day to pretty much everyone in the phone book to see if they were interested in life or health insurance or mutual funds, et cetera. But ultimately, I was trying to help build other people's wealth and maybe give them some tax advantages too, while making a few bucks along the way for myself. So I thought it was the ultimate kind of career where I could help serve others and create a good life for myself as well along the way.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I love talking to financial advisors, former financial advisors who are now into real estate syndications. Let's touch on that later on in the show. But so here you are like with your sales experience, and how did that go? And where did it take you next?
So I was prospecting someone on a golf course that happened to be a commercial real estate broker about a year into it. And he said, I got a couple of years left to me, but my partner, We both have our own offices for tax purposes, but we do all these deals together for the past 25 years. He's got a good 10 years left. We could use some help. We have this huge 18 property portfolio. Once you get licensed, we'll work you in and get going with that. So I said, perfect. Put in my notice, got right into real estate school. And in August 2008, I was now a proud real estate salesperson in New Jersey.
Right. And we all know what happened then.
30 days later, Lehman Brothers went bankrupt and I moved back in with my parents.
So what happened with that deal?
That's actually a very sad story. It was a bunch of kids, in essence, that owned it. Their parents and all the managers of the property died in a private plane crash a few years earlier. So the oldest of the four or five kids kind of had to help raise the rest of their siblings and run this giant portfolio of properties. And it got to the point where the kids are older now. They all wanted their piece and to get out. So it was one of those tragic stories where money and greed definitely had a super negative effect. And I think there might've even been a suicide involved somewhere along the way, but I know a few of the properties, it essentially never sold. And even some of the properties got foreclosed on. So pretty sad at the end of the day. We had a buyer that we were close to closing. And then when Lehman went under, everyone took a step back and the commercial markets were kind of the first to freeze. Because if you think about it, commercial real estate, it's almost more optional money, right? I only lose money if I sell at a loss. Maybe I just keep holding or stuff like that. Whereas residentials, you have to live somewhere. So there's more often transactions happening versus the choice to have to transact.
I see. Yeah. Well, that is definitely a tragic story. And it's important for us to hear these stories as for those of us who are interested in commercial real estate, just so that we can know kind of like what to look out for. And, you know, that maybe if they were had been able to hold it during that time. Anyways, so you moved back in with your mom, and which, you know, happened to a lot of people in 2008, obviously. I was lucky to be in graduate school at the time. So yeah. But in any case, then what? Where did you go next?
Various odd jobs, just trying to keep my head above water, you know, slowly accumulating debt just out of necessity, you know, putting gas in my car, eating. And I tried my hand at a few different things. I switched my license to a residential brokerage in Hoboken, New Jersey, because that's where I was living, right across from New York City. Fun, young little city, a lot of young professionals there. So it was kind of like post-college with money, like a little playground. So, you know, I made a lot of great contacts too, because it's also a lot of high income earners, you know, working in the Manhattan jobs and whatnot. So, had a lot of friends there, tried selling because I figured, hey, you know, it's not six-figure commissions like selling some of these commercial buildings. However, I can get a few done. They're still very expensive properties, individual condos or brownstones. So I could probably make a decent living doing that. So I did that for about a year. I had got some rentals done and I had 8 sales fall through, including my first listing burning to the ground.
Oh my gosh. And you said that was how many units?
8 or 10 units. And it had a little convenience store on the first floor, which had an electrical fire.
Oh my gosh. That sounds so awful.
Fortunately, everyone was gone for the holiday weekend. Okay. Most people were gone. So there was no injuries or anything, but it was sad. And I literally ran across town in the cold and was watching it from a block away. Just,
oh my God,
burning. It was awful.
That is awful. And I mean, so you were going to be brokering that deal or purchasing it, or what were you doing with that?
I was going to be listing it. It was a friend of a friend. Met with them on Friday for President's Day weekend. They said, yeah, it sounds good. We're going away for a ski weekend like everyone does on President's Day weekend here. And we'll be back Monday night. So we'll give you the paperwork on Tuesday. And it was Sunday night that the fire happened while they were gone.
Oh my gosh. So then did they rebuild? I mean, obviously for you, it was like kind of done, but were they able to rebuild or what happened there?
The lot eventually sold to a developer like a couple years later. And now it is luxury rentals with a storefront underneath, probably averaging $3,000 a unit per month.
Okay. Well, you know, obviously, Dan, you have like so much in your background. Why don't you fast forward us to the moment when you got into real estate syndications?
Sure. Well, eventually my luck changed a little bit. Got back into brokering full-time in 2013. Keller Williams came to town and I got all the training that I needed to learn how to actually sell. And as I was growing my brokering business, I came across a fellow agent and her husband who we did a deal together. And then they were looking to, they were investors, mostly in wholesaling, house flipping, and some small buy and holds. So his name was Jason Yerusi and his wife, Peely. So I was showing Jason some potential flips. One day he came in and said, "Oh, my friend and I actually just got under contract on 96 units. I said, "How'd you do that? How much money do you have?" And he said, "No, we syndicated it." And I said, "Why am I missing this from my vocabulary?" So he filled me in how it's the pooling of resources. And they essentially, from him and his high school buddy, just having all their friends and family, you know, give some money, they were able to fund the purchase. And he said the beauty of it is the scalability. So while we just got under contract last night, we're still looking for our second and third property. We're just going to need to grow our team to help execute on them. So that's where I ended up partnering up and doing the next two direct deals with them. And then we co-GP'd on a few other deals as well. That was my jump into it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, what was it that you loved so much about syndication? Like, I mean, because you obviously were able to draw on some of your previous experience, but can you tell us a little bit about that?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Oh, it was a total, everything I'd ever done came together like a cosmic event. It was, you know, from the financial advising, being able to help people grow their wealth, to just people getting into real estate. You know, the big problem with real estate, and this was the path I was going on. I met him right after I bought my first two family that I was doing the quote unquote house hacking. So my future wife then and I were living in one unit, renting out the bottom. And we figured after 2 years, we could probably save up, buy another one and another one and another one. Not living in all of them, but maybe the after two, we'll go to the suburbs to a single family house to raise a family, but then keep buying. And you know what? Over time, it could do very well for us. And yeah, I get just five or six of these. I can, you know, replace an income with that. And it'll be a great nest egg as it builds up in value over time. However, in New Jersey, especially, I'm probably going to need at least $75,000 to $100,000 for down payment and closing costs every time. That's a lot of dough to scratch up. So it's not as scalable to move as quickly as syndications. So I love that we could do more and I can give more opportunities to people. You know, I can sell people a two or three family. And for a lot of people, that's all they want to do. Great. God bless. I'm here to help you for that. And I have the experience to do it. However, for those that don't want to be landlords, and that's the reason, most number one reason, and especially fellow realtors, they don't own property because they don't want to deal with toilets and tenants. They don't want the 4 a.m. phone calls. So this is that opportunity where you can have a piece of this incredible asset class, making awesome income, generating tons of tax benefits, and you cannot be a hypocrite as you are selling everyone real estate, yet don't own any of your own. So this is a way that, and you should be able to understand what, even better than anyone else, what a good deal is or not, and understand some of the factors around multifamily investing. So it's great that I can touch more lives and get more people involved that are both willing to be active or not in the great asset that is multifamily.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, people can specialize in the active side and then invite more people in who, you know, want to be into real estate and want the best parts of it, but not necessarily, you know, they have other things that they're putting their time and energy and efforts into. So yeah, love syndication for that too. Now, I just want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier, you know, which is your career in financial advising. And, you know, obviously, like it's sometimes it seems like to me that financial advisors aren't necessarily aware of syndications or even allowed to talk about them.
what's your take on, you know, having been in both spaces? Do you have any like sort of insights for people who do have financial advisors who are thinking about getting into syndications?
Yes. So this is always a fun topic. I absolutely have a ton of friends in the space. I talk to a lot, any and all financial advisors I can talk to, because like a lot of things, they provide incredible tools to use. There is no one answer for everything. There is not, I bought my life insurance and my mutual funds, I'm done. That's not going to be a solid wealth generating, wealth building or wealth preservation strategy for long term. But you can use things like life insurance or self-directed IRAs or other things to help fund other investments, maximize your tax benefits, and long-term, you're using all these tools and all these pieces together to really create this incredible wealth machine. So sometimes it's funny because I'm actually educating and giving additional knowledge to a lot of advisors that aren't aware of certain things. And then there are those advisors that are kind of pigeonholed, you know, not true fiduciaries. So they just have all they have and all they can do is talk about or sell the product that their company offers. So I do always, you know, suggest talking to someone that's willing to take a more fiduciary stance and holistic approach to wealth building, because those we've been sought out by some that are looking for, you know, these alternative assets that I'm involved in, whether it's multifamily or other things. And they're looking for these options for their clients to better diversify and take advantage of these markets.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's really well said and really well put. I think it's always important to ask your financial advisor if they are a fiduciary or to figure that out. And so, yeah, I mean, maybe you can just speak to a little bit about how some of these tools that are offered can work together with syndications.
Sure. So probably the number one thing that a lot of people tout are using retirement funds. So the best strategy, I think Matt Faircloth is where I first read this in his book on private investing, and fantastic guy, met him a few times. He asks people, hey, got this great real estate deal, you know, $25,000, $50,000 investment, are you in? And everyone goes, no, I don't have that kind of money sitting around. Like, I'll bet you do. what's in your IRA or 401k right now? And they're like, huh? And they don't realize that, you know, there's certain ways you can actually shift some of your retirement funds into a self-directed IRA. And then there's the whole education process, because I've had this with some friends. Oh, I do self-direct my funds. No, you don't. Allocating and self-directing are two completely different things. Just because you told them to put it in Apple stock doesn't mean they're going to let you put it in a private placement deal. So there's only a few companies in the grand scheme of things that do self-directed IRAs. So you would roll the account into there, and they have a self-directed version of essentially every kind of retirement product. So if it's a self-directed Roth IRA or a self-directed traditional or a solo 401k, they have essentially self-directed versions of every one of those. And that is where you get closer to a checkbook control, where under their guidance and guidelines, they allow you to invest into certain private deals. In fact, you can't be in any publicly traded deal. So you can't invest in any equities. You can invest in companies and business ventures, but if they go public, you have to exit. So it's opens up a wide range of opportunities in the private placement space, like our syndications or other ventures.
Yeah, I think that's it's such an important point that there are places where you may have money available to put to work, right, into real estate syndications. So you can start learning about them and getting more motivated and excited to do more deals. So yeah, thanks for that. Now, before we start to wrap up, I really want to touch on and explain your current deal, which I think is really cool. You know, it circles back with your criminal justice background. It's a social impact deal. Tell us all about what you're working on now.
Yeah. So as I said, I'm starting to finally use a little bit of my criminal justice knowledge, helping to cure the recidivism issue in our country. So through a couple of real estate guys that I knew, they founded a company called Eternal Hemp. And we are, so I'm a partner with them, and we are an indoor hemp growing facility, a cultivator based out of Wilmington, Delaware. And this is a 506C structure. So we're still accept capital from accredited investors only, $50,000 minimums. Great thing is there's a few angles here, essentially. Number one, we are in an opportunity zone. And opportunity zones, as of the 2017 Job Acts and tax reform, is basically every state was able to deem the 25% lowest income tracts, census tracts, as opportunity zones. So they got to carve out which of those tracts they wanted to as opportunity zones. And there's incredible tax incentives if you are building real estate or starting a business there. So first benefit is if you roll, you can roll capital gains into an opportunity zone and you get a deferral until the end of 2026. And even if you hold, you're in it for at least 5 years by that date, December 31st, 2026, you get a 10% step up in basis. So essentially a 10% reduction on your capital gains that you now owe. So that's allowing you to put more capital to work because instead of owing, you know, paying Uncle Sam and then investing the rest, you're able to put more of it to work up front. So the second benefit is that after a 10-year hold in the project, whether you invested capital gains or just your regular cash into the deal, everybody at the exit after 10 years pays zero capital gains on the exit. So that's an incredible amount of savings. And the whole point of these long time periods is because they don't want you to come in like a flash in the pan, like, oh, I flipped a house, so I improved that real estate by more than its value. Give me all the tax benefits. No, they want longevity. They want to build the economy up in these areas. They want to create more jobs, create more housing, and make it thrive. So we are starting this company as a qualified opportunity zone project. We also, through the hemp growing, we decided we want to have a social impact as part of this. So we are actually partnered up with Goodwill right now, and they're essentially acting like an HR partner for screening applicants and whatnot. But we are hiring a workforce of what we call returning citizens, former convicts who are now out of the system, looking for work. And we're able to teach them both the green agricultural jobs skills, as well as general business and life skills along the way. So super, super pumped about that. And like I said, I had full semester courses on learning about recidivism in the prison system. And it's just this nasty cycle where, you know, whether you just slipped up and made a one-time mistake or whatever, you know, if the prison system does its job and reforms you and you're now wanting to not go back to life of crime, you come out and you're almost forced a lot of times to go back into it because you can't get a job with a record and or don't get the chances that you kind of earned and deserved now. So we want to help stop that cycle, number one. But also a lot of people, and even some people we're talking to right now, future hires, they were in there for minor cannabis arrests. So it's kind of ironic and full circle that as all of this is getting legalized, you know, hemp and CBD is legal across the country. I would expect that THC, marijuana, will soon be legal across most of the country as well at all levels, recreationally and medicinally. So to look back and say, oh, anyone can go and do it now, but yet I had to serve 15 to 20 years for what little I had on me is really sad and unfortunate. So we're trying to help correct and spin that dial back for everybody.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I there's so much to what you just said there. And, you know, I just absolutely so have so much respect for your efforts there into trying to make the world a better place and fix like the systems, or at least help people make a life after coming out. And yeah, there's just so much that you said there. It's really inspiring. And thanks for also going over the opportunity zones. I think that's just such an important thing for everyone to get educated on and keep their mind open to for when they have like a, you know, a large capital event and, or if they want to do some more long-term investing, the benefits there. So anyways, Dan, thank you so much for just sharing so much knowledge and your experience and story today with listeners. I feel really grateful to have had this conversation with you. Thank you so much. And yeah, before we sign off, please let the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you'd like to share.
Sure. You can email me anytime. It's dan@shonecap.com. That's dan@shonecap.com. Find me on LinkedIn, Daniel Schoenbachler.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks so much, Dan. Really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.